Good morning, everybody. Carl McIntyre. We got in late last night, talked to 2 o'clock. We went down to Harrisonburg, Virginia, over in the Shenandoah Valley. And we had a church filled with people from all down through that area. One of these big booster rallies that we're having now for the First Amendment March, Washington, April the 6th. And if you want a tonic, if you want a thrill, you ought to just go to one of these rallies that we're having now. The people of this country are upset. The Christian people are disturbed as I've never seen them disturbed before. We were there in the Christ Gospel Church, independent work down there, faithful pastors, and they had preachers in there from along the valley. Pastor, the largest independent church in the whole valley, was there. And the response, the wonderful offering they gave us, the plans to bring the buses to Washington, they're only 2.5 hours from the nation's capital. Many of the people in the meeting had been to the various marches we've had over the years since 1970. And we have a station down there in Luray. They all listen to us. We've been in there for a good many years in that Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. Folks, it's the place of the mockingbird. The place of the honeysuckle vines. It's the place of the lilac. Right alongside the Blue Ridge Mountains. All history running through that valley. Magnificent. We were just thrilled. And I want you people everywhere now to join. The people there are going to be in prayer. We're getting prayer groups praying everywhere. And the loss of liberty. The preachers down there who have radios, they all talk with us. They have the same trouble. They can't talk anymore. There's many things they've been forbidden to talk about. And they're stirred as I have never, never seen our Christian people stirred in this country. In fact, they've all got the idea that this energy crisis is some sort of a scheme that Washington has been planning so Washington can take more control of our lives. There's plenty of fuel, apparently. The tanks are all stacked up. We flew over the Chesapeake Bay, and we saw 4 great big tankers sitting out there, parked out there, just jammed full. They were clear down to their water line. And there's all kinds of fuel, all kinds of oil. Everybody seems to know it. And yet we don't get it, and we're in great, great trouble. The life patterns, the church patterns, the going to church, all these things are now being affected. And this country of ours, I think, could very easily wake up and we could have a turnabout. But at least I saw it last evening and was simply thrilled with it. And I want you people to just rejoice with me. We're going to have a company in Washington. It'll be buses mainly, but cars will be coming. And you folks from the West can fly in and get in another way. But we're going to have one of the greatest gatherings. And with things like they are right now and people coming in there with their Bibles in their arms, with a beautiful signs. Apparently, we're going to have a great many more signs. Apparently, we're going to have a lot of signs about Kissinger from what the people were saying last night. Kissinger seems to have stirred an awful lot of people. And in the question and answer period that we had, a lot of questions came up about financing the communists and what Mr. Kissinger was doing to placate and aid and finance the military assets and aid of the communists. Utterly fantastic. This country is beginning to ask some questions as to why we are financing the enemies of freedom. They're beginning to ask these questions. And folks, we're a lonely voice. We're one man came up and said, Doctor, you're a John the Baptist just crying in the wilderness. And there are very few voices left. And right now, if we ever, ever did anything, you people are going to have to do it now. You're going to have to do it now. Now, let's have our prayer. We've got some news items I'll pass on to you. Of course, we've got a front page story this morning. Brezhnev cites big loss in Soviet grain storage. The Soviet agriculture suffered large losses of grain during last year's record harvest because of inadequate storage and transport facilities. They're losing their grain over there even after they bought all of our grain with our money. And now our bread, as you know, is going sky high. And there's a question as to whether we're going to have really enough sweet to take us on through to the harvest here in this country. And yet the Russians have said, their leader who was here to do business with the American businessman, that they were going to delay some of their shipments until after the American harvest came in. The Russians are going to be good to us. You must remember that, folks. Now let's have prayer. I've also got a story from Paul Buranov, who's our authority on the slave conditions in Russia, that I'd like to pass on to you, and that is that the head of this so-called businessmen's delegation that came over here, and we had our protest in Washington last Tuesday, and our seminary students went down. This man who sat alongside of the president of the Pepsi-Cola company, you know, that has the franchise for cold drinks in Russia now. This man, I reported it to you, said that they wanted to do business with the United States, provided we put up the money and loan them the money so they could buy what they got. But this man now, we find out, has been the man who's been responsible for keeping the Bible out of Russia. He's not only head of this big trade delegation, but he's been ahead of all the matters that had to do with customs and the entrance of everything into the Soviet Union. And he's a man who's been making certain that no Bibles of any kind got into Russia, were smuggled into Russia. And his task now is to keep the Bibles out and to get the dollars in. Keep the Bibles out and to get the dollars in. Now, this is the man that Kissinger set up this whole deal with. And folks, we've got to recognize that you can't do business with the devil. Now, you Christians know that. The Christian people are the only ones that seem to understand what's happening to us, and all these liberals and leftists and all these tremendous pressure groups are in favor of pretty well turning America over to the communists. You're just going to have to finance them and build them up and give them the big factories for their trucks and give them what they need so they can have all the electronic know-how and they can have all our computers and everything else. And then when they get to be the big bear, then they'll be able to take over the world as they say they are going to do. Now, it's our prayer, but God bless you, folks. I have come back to this studio here in Collingswood just so thrilled, and I want every last one of you to be in prayer. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I want you people to be in prayer, to be in prayer. And then I want you to get up and get active and get busy and get your buses and get your plans. Now, I'll give you the location where I'm going to be in several of these other rallies next week and the week after that. We're planning to come down into North Carolina especially. But Jim Nichols was with us last night again. He's the man who lost the Puyallup station. He lost his radio station, KAYE, you know. He's dead. He's lost all his investments. He's lost everything he had. And he's down there in Washington like a lonely orphan down there doing what he can. And the stories that he gave, he sat in yesterday on this committee meeting of the Interstate and Foreign Commerce is headed by Mr. Harley Steiger. And they're getting ready to adopt this subcommittee bill, which in our judgment, his judgment, is far worse than anything they've ever brought in. It gives the FCC more power than it's ever had before. And instead of cutting back, instead of questioning the fairness doctrine, what they call the right of reply, now they're developing another doctrine on the same principle, which is called the right of access. And that's to be written into law. And folks, we're going to have to deal with Congress now. Every single congressman is going to, if they adopt that bill down there today or tomorrow, our petitions haven't meant anything. Our petitions might as well have been put in the wastebasket. Probably that's what they did with them. There's not one single thing in this bill that Harley Steiger and these men are dealing with down there today that even recognizes that the situation that we're facing so much as exists. Totally shut us off. Totally cut us out. Now, that's in the House. Now, over in the Senate, of course, we've got some sympathy over there. They don't even have a bill that's been proposed over there. And maybe we can get somewhere in the Senate with Senator Sam Irwin and Senator Jesse Helms and some of these other men. But folks, this crowd down there in Washington, we got a Congress, ladies and gentlemen, that's run by these groups that are satisfying these liberals and the leftists and the pressures, and they're getting what they want down there. And we're just left sitting out there with our hands dangling down with nothing to show, nothing to bring back. All right, let's have our prayer. Folks, your country is in trouble, and God can help us. And we must turn to God. This nation needs revival if it ever needed anything in its life. And I saw the spirit of revival last night. All down through that Shenandoah Valley, Stanton, Luray, all through that area, the people came in last night. We had a church sale. We had a fellow there with, I think he had four drums and five or six different trembles. You never saw the like, and what kind of music he didn't make. And the people were thrilled, and they sang, and we invited that fellow to come and put his drums on the platform in our big march, and he said he'd be there. And every preacher there last night said they're bringing buses. Every one of them. They're all going to come over to Washington. And we're going to be able to see just out of the radius of Virginia and the Carolinas and West Virginia and Pennsylvania in this area, you're going to see a great company. Folks, we want this country to be given back to the people. We want our liberty back. We want the right to preach on the radio like we used to be able to preach. We can't use names anymore on the radio. You can, of course, talk about foreign powers. You're still free to do that. But you can't mention organizations here on the radio anymore. And I have to speak in these general terms, as you understand. And we're in trouble. We've lost our freedom of speech. That's what we've lost. And now we've got this energy crisis over us, and we see the thing, and I'm getting to the place where I'm beginning to believe that the whole thing's got a lot of manipulation behind it, simply to repress us, simply to put us in line. Simply to let the government get more power down there, and they're getting it every single day. And we want a government that will serve us, not suppress us. We want a government that will be responsive to the needs of the people, and not a government that pays no attention and the unelected bureaucrats go ahead with the corruption and everything else that's going on down there in Washington. We need a first-class earthquake down in the nation's capital. And it's not going to come until the preachers of this country wake up and say to the men in Washington, we want righteousness, we want honesty, we want decency, we want liberty, we want to be able to preach in this country like the old-time preachers used to preach against the devil and clean up the town. My folks, I just get such an enthusiastic encouragement, if you want to call it that. Now let's have our prayer. Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee that there are people listening today, and they love Thee. They love their country. They love the mockingbirds and the honeysuckle, and they love the lilacs. And spring's coming, Father. We thank Thee for this country. Oh, how good You've been to us. But now we see the compromise, and we see that there is little opposition any longer to communism in the country. They've killed it. They've suppressed it. There's little anymore that's being said against using the American dollars to build a world of slavery and a world of tyranny. And Lord, the people are beginning to respond, but wilt Thou enable us to rise up, all the people rise up, and call this nation to its knees and to prayer and to revival and to a sense of the judgments of God which are to fall upon us because of sin. Lord, bless us. We also ask that Thou wilt bless the great First Amendment rally, the big march on April the 6th. May the people pray for it. May the people get their buses. May they get themselves organized. And may they come, O Lord, this is our petition and this is our request. O gracious and holy God, we thank Thee that Thou art good and Thou art faithful. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You know something else? This emphasis that I've had these last months on the book of Revelation is taking hold all down through the country. And I've asked all of you in all your churches and your prayer groups and your Sunday school classes and wherever you are to memorize Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Now, this is the description of the living Christ. I want you to do it. And, of course, in the rally last night, I started out with that description of Christ. And they've all been listening to it on the radio, you know, and here I come, and poof, the church today is interested in the last book in the Bible. God gave it to the church. He gave it to the seven churches. I told you he gave it to the fundamental churches. The modernist churches have no use for it because they don't believe it and don't understand it anyhow. They can't understand it. They haven't got the Holy Spirit to show them. But we've been born again, and we're the people of faith, and we can love the things that God's given us. And here you have this magnificent description of Jesus Christ. And my friend, he is in the heavens. Jesus Christ is alive. God sent him to this earth to redeem us by the sacrifice of himself upon that cursed tree. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of power. And he says, all authority and all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And he has it. And he's going to take care of it. And folks, last night when I began to talk about how God took care of the children of Israel and led them out of Egyptian bondage and opened up the Red Sea, they didn't have any big bridge to go across that Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. But I got to talking about how God delivered Daniel. But he didn't deliver him, and he didn't stop the mouths of the lions, you know, until he actually got in the lion's den. It wasn't until the feet of the priest touched the waters, the Jordan waters, that the river divided. And I went down through some of those great passages in the Old Testament, how God Almighty delivers and how he takes care of and how he's a God of power. Folks, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I want you people to have faith. We need faith. We need to trust him. We need to believe that he can undertake for us. And we're believing that God will give us back radio station WSUR. Now, things are stacked against us over in Capitol Hill today. They're stacked against us right now over in Capitol Hill today. We've lost out in the court, folks. We've been in five federal courts. And we can't get a federal court to pay any attention to the constitutional issues that have been involved in this great radio fight. Only one judge down there in the circuit court, Judge David Basselin, came to the defense of the Constitution and said that the station had lost its First Amendment rights. That's what the judge said, just the one. We couldn't even get into the Supreme Court with this question of our religious minority rights and with our right to free speech. Folks, these courts have failed us. They have failed us. These courts, every last one of them, the five that we've been in, have always found some excuse to get us out and to get rid of us and to throw us out without any relief or remedy. That's what the courts have done to us. And this thing is built up today that if you go into these courts, it costs you so much money, you can't possibly say that. The whole executive branch, we've written the president, we've done what we could, we went to the FCC, we've done everything with the executive branch down there. All they've done is to crush us. And now they've got a bill that they're bringing into Congress. The subcommittee's approved of it. I read you the names of the congressmen on this subcommittee, and you ought to all know about it. But this subcommittee has brought in a bill, and the committee itself is about to approve the whole thing, and then it gets on to the floor of the Congress of the United States, and they have now what they call the right of access. And I read you the other morning this provision in the bill, which says that anybody anywhere can go over a radio station if this bill goes through and raise a significant question with the management as to the operation of the station. There are no guidelines, there are no areas of what they're talking about. And what is a significant question? Well, the FCC will be the final judge of what is or what isn't. And ladies and gentlemen, then if the management doesn't negotiate with these people who come at the station in good faith, then they can lose their station. And this is a formula to destroy the radio station's ownership and management. That's all it is. It's a formula to turn the radio stations over to total government regulation and control. Not only are they keeping the fairness doctrine, but they're creating another doctrine. Not only what they call the right of reply, which is the fairness doctrine, but they've got now the right of access, which is going to be a doctrine of control outside of the hands and the management of the station and the ownership of the station. Now, that's where they're taking it. And it's a very, very serious thing. We have another section here in this bill that I wanted to read you today. The number of the bill is 12993. 12993. And here's a section now. Let me read you this. B. In considering any application for renewal of a broadcast license granted under subsection A, the commission shall not consider. Now, these are the things they said they're not to consider, but listen to the catch in it before I get through. I, the ownership interest or official connections of the applicant in other stations or other communication media or other businesses. Or, two, the participation of ownership in the management of the station for which such application has been filed. Now, it sounds like they're going to tell the FCC it's none of your business, whether these owners or whether these folks who have the stations have any connections with newspapers or other businesses or other radio stations. But listen, unless the commission has adopted rules prohibiting such ownership interest. And so they say something here that Congress is going to approve, and then it says, well, it's not going to be enforced. It doesn't need to be enforced if the FCC proceeds to adopt some rules prohibiting such ownership. So what they say in one paragraph, they nullify in another paragraph, and furthermore, they put the decision and the desire of the Federal Communications Commission above the Congress. And here we've got our unelected bureaucrats again. And folks, this new bill that they're putting in down there right now simply means that the FCC's expanding its power, expanding its scope of operations, and it's going to be a more powerful FCC than we've ever had before, if this bill goes through. And I want you people to recognize that what we have here is that the Congress is literally abdicating in the presence of the FCC and putting in the hands of the FCC more power to make more rules and more laws and more regulations, which the Congress will have not had anything to do with except you go ahead and make them. That's not right. Folks, we're being destroyed, literally destroyed. The people are having their rights. There's not one thing in this new bill that recognizes in any way the issues or the troubles or the petitions which you and I have been giving to Congress. They've completely and totally ignored us. All right, folks, we're going to have a battle now, and you folks are going to have to come down to Washington, every last one of you. This great First Amendment march. At what time are they going to stop down there in that Congress and listen to the preachers and listen to the little people and listen to the men who are trying to operate their radio stations in a decent way? When in the world are we going to get this kind of recognition? Well, it'll come now. Jim Nichols is going to be in there today listening to their discussion and seeing what's going to happen. And I'll give you some more of it tomorrow. But, folks, no wonder we had a rally last night in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. Harrisonburg, no wonder the people came in there, and they had families and ladies with babies and little children. And what's going to happen to these babies, and what kind of liberty are they going to have in this country? You know, last night, ladies and gentlemen, I was down in that great state of Virginia, and Virginia is a wonderful state with all its history. And it's full of a great number of people who just love this country. But all I had to do was to mention Patrick Henry last night, and they burst into applause. Give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death. And when I referred to that last night, told them the story of WSUR and how it had been killed by the United States government, and the people had been denied their right to hear, their right to know, and the radio stations had been denied. And folks, when I mentioned Sam Irvin and I mentioned the senators, two senators from North Carolina, they just applauded and applauded. Virginia wants two senators like North Carolina has. They want it. And you've got a religious movement now that's beginning to roll and take shape in this country that could be used of God mightily today. Lord bless you, folks. Now I want you to stand by for tomorrow's broadcast. I've got a story about Alexis Stoyan from Russia. He's the Baptist, you know. He's the KGB. He's a communist. And Alexis Stoyan, you know, invited me to come to Russia. I saw him in Paris years ago. Now he's going into business again. And now he's inviting some of the churches in the United States to come over. I want all you Southern Baptists now to listen. I want all you Southern Baptists to listen tomorrow to elect a Stoyan's program. I'm going to lay it out before you. But Stoyan is a KGB. He runs the Baptist Church in Moscow. He's been over in this country. And my, what a time. Maybe I can tell you the story of my encounter with him in Denver, Colorado. He is the KGB. The Russians have put him in charge of the Russian Baptist Church. That little old showcase over there, the only Protestant church they permit to have in Moscow. The only one. And I want you to hear the story. Now let me give you a little bit. Tomorrow night, which will be Thursday, March the 7th, we're to be in the senior high school in Westminster, Maryland. Now that's just out to west of Baltimore a little way. You people listening on WTOW, those folks will be listening on WBMD. You people out in York and Red Lion and southern Pennsylvania, if you can possibly get down there tomorrow evening, you'll see. We want to pack out that high school there in the western part just west of the city of Baltimore. And then March the 14th, that'll be a week from tomorrow, we'll be in York, Pennsylvania. That's the Bible Presbyterian Church on the York County Spring Road. And then on the 15th, we're going to have a great rally in the Falls Church, Virginia area. We've got all kinds of friends and supporters through that Falls Church area, right around the Washington, D.C. March the 22nd, we're going out to the Hollidaysburg Junior High School in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania. And that's in the evening at 7:30. It's near Altoona. You people listening on the radio stations in that area, and there's several of them there, you get ready. Let's get our buses going. And then on March the 25th, we're going to the Grace Baptist Church in Norfolk, Virginia. Don Carnes is the pastor. Look, we've got all kinds of pastors now, all kinds of them. And last night when I was in that church and I saw the pastor of the largest church in that area sitting there, he's got his buses, they're going to fill them up. They're bringing them to Washington, D.C. And they're going to have an invasion of people carrying Bibles. They're going to have an invasion of Washington, of preachers who are going to tell that Congress, take the censors out of the Federal Communications Commission. Take these pressures off the people of this country and let us have our free speech back. Folks, they're trying to crush the anti-communist in this country. They're trying to silence the forces that are questioning the Kissinger-Nixon program of building up the communist world with American dollars. They're trying to silence. God bless you, folks. I don't know how much stronger I can put it, but you're waking up and they're doing it down. You know, I come back from a meeting like I did last night, and you just thrill. You just thrill. Now, folks, you're going to have to help us. We raised a very wonderful offering last night for the expenses of the march. And I'm going to have special contributions, all this literature, all these bumper stickers, and all these ads we're going to put in the papers, and things like that to command the area. At least they'll know it. Folks, I'll send you bumper stickers. Every bumper sticker we took down there last night was carried off by the people. One man had a filling station. Bless his heart. He took some to the doctor. I'm taking them and put them over there in my filling station. And all my friends come in, I'm going to stick them on the bumpers for them. That'll be additional service from my filling station to the community. How do you like that? Oh, folks, let's stand up for America. Let's stand up for our freedom. Let's deal with these forces that are seeking to destroy us and to deliver us over into the hands of our enemies to build a communist world. All right, you write me today. I want you to get these two great speeches. In the Senate, apparently, we're making out a little better. But you're going to have to get to your congressman now, every one of them. And I'll give you reports tomorrow as to what happened in Washington today. Jim Nichols will be over on Capitol Hill. Poor Jim, he lost his station.
Write your contribution payable to the 20th Century Reformation Hour at about 9:50, Billings, Montana.